Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 102.5 The Game, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Fireball Hot Take Friday, preseason game number one in the books. And I will say this, I thought Malik Willis did a lot of things that I did not like yesterday, but we do have to grade on a curve. And there were two separate plays that Malik Willis made that showed me his potential. Now, potential is French for not good enough. But Malik has skills that other people don't have. And to me, nobody is talking about one of them. Everybody's talking about the touchdown run yesterday. That was a great play. The other one was my favorite throw of the night by Malik Willis. It wasn't the deep ball to Racy McMath. It was the two-minute drill. And I thought the two-minute drill, 30 seconds to go, deep in their own territory, I thought this was what shows you where Malik Willis is right now, which is Malik Willis gets the football deep in his own territory, drops back, fires a rocket of a pass outside the numbers to Mason Kinsey. I mean, I want to say the ball on a line traveled 18 yards probably. I mean, I don't know what the pickup was. I guess I'll pull up the box score of the game and see what the actual technical pickup was on the play. But that was a big league throw. The Titans then on the next play, as they don't have a lot of time, and they're driving, on the next play, Malik gets sacked. And it wasn't like it was this great pressure from the Ravens. He just got sacked. And those are things that in a two-minute drill, even though the Titans had timeouts, absolutely, positively cannot happen. The last drive where they ended up punting before the half, Malik Willis threw the ball. It was a 19-yard gain to Mason Kinsey. So I'm going to say that that ball probably traveled 16 yards in the air. And it was on a rope. And they completed that pass. They started with 35 seconds on the clock. And that ball was completed when the Titans called timeout on the ball to Kinsey with 28 seconds. So that was in the span of 7 seconds that the Titans gained 19 yards. The next play, Malik Willis got sacked for a loss of 7. And those are the plays that can't happen. And unfortunately, there were too many of those. There were missing guys that were wide open. And it was funny because as I was on Twitter, everybody was talking about how Malik's better than Woodside and Malik should be the backup. And I don't want to hear from anybody tell me that Malik shouldn't be better. Meanwhile, Trevor Maddich, who's going to join us in the next hour, is texting me and was like, wow. And I'll let him share what he thought about Malik's performance, but he did not see it the way that Titans Twitter saw it last night as far as how Malik Willis was performing. 615-737-1025. It is a what will be Reaction Monday, Titans Monday. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday where we are reacting to last night's game. James has been waiting patiently. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. James is up next to the quarterbacks. What's up, James?
Hey, Jared. Thank you for taking my phone call. Sure. Here's what I know just from observing what I did last night. And basically, you're seeing pretty much the same thing I'm seeing because our eyes are wide open. If Tannehill goes down, which God forbid that happens, and you gotta rely on Logan Woodside, we both know he stinks. He's not good. Sure. He's not a starting quarterback. He's not even a great backup quarterback. And we know Malik. You've been talking about it the whole previous hour about Malik not being ready. Well, there's two quarterbacks in this league that never have gotten a proper opportunity that have big quarterback arms, and that's Josh Rosen and Jacob Eason. I mean, is there a scenario? Or do we have any ability to be able to trade to get one of those guys, especially Josh Rosen? He's got a big-time arm, and he's never, ever had a chance to prove what he can do in the NFL because what happened in Arizona, new coach comes in, he wants his quarterback, Josh Rosen.
What happened in Miami, though, with Rosen, James?
Yes.
What happened in Miami when Rosen got an opportunity there?
I don't think he got a proper opportunity. I mean, I didn't watch every Miami game, but they were so crazy to get two in there and couldn't wait to get Rosen out. But I'll hang up and listen to what you got to say about that idea.
Yeah, I see. This is what I laugh about with this, and I appreciate your call, James. And unless the Titans were to go get somebody who's been an actual starter in the NFL to be their backup, And I mean like a starter who's had success. Like when they had Neil O'Donnell in as their backup quarterback. Unless the Titans get somebody like that, they're going to be like every other team in the league. And it reminds me of when we used to have conversations. Ian, you remember it. With Floyd, anytime we talk about having to play a backup quarterback, what would he say?
I mean, he pretty much would say, if you have to start your backup for a long period of time, you're pretty much in trouble anyways, and just hope if he has to play a couple of games, you can squeeze one or two out.
Yeah, I mean, he really was like, if you have to play your backup quarterback, you're going to lose.
You're pretty much in trouble.
Just look at the Ravens. The Ravens were 8-4 last year with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback. They were in first place. Lamar got hurt. They didn't win another game the rest of the year. That's the league. And it's even more difficult now to find quality backups because these guys make so much money that think about Tannehill. Tannehill's made $200 million in his life. You think Ryan Tannehill wants to do what he did at the end of his Miami tenure next season in his mid-30s with his kids, in elementary school? You think Ryan Tannehill wants to sit there and say, yeah, let's pack up the house, let's move to... What's an average team with an at Carolina where I'll back up Baker Mayfield next year and I'll take an 80% pay cut? You think Ryan Tannehill's interested in that? No. So unless you've got Teddy Bridgewater, there are no good quote unquote backup quarterbacks in the NFL. And the Titans have lived dangerously like that for the last 3 years. But if Brandon Allen has to play in Cincinnati, they're screwed. If Cooper Rush has to play in Dallas, they're screwed. If Kellen Mond has to play in Minnesota, where I think he's the backup, they're screwed. I'm trying to think around the league. Who's Derek Carr's backup? I have no idea.
What's Stidham, I thought.
Stidham! If he has to play. It's like the caller saying, Jacob Eason and Josh Rosen didn't have chances. Yes, they did, and they sucked. Jacob Eason had a chance. Carson Wentz got hurt early last season, and Jacob Eason had to go in there, and he was terrible. He got a chance. And the league doesn't give a lot of chances. Josh Rosen had his chance in Arizona, didn't work out there. Had his chance in Miami, didn't work out there. Had his chance last year with Arthur in Atlanta, didn't work out there. If Josh Rosen was worth having, somebody would keep him on their team. All these guys are the same. Jacoby Brissett is right now the likely starter in Cleveland. And Jacoby Brissett, New England didn't want to keep him. Indianapolis couldn't get rid of him fast enough. Miami had him as the backup last year. He was 2-3 in 5 games. They let him go. And now he's in Cleveland. And Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com, who has been covering the Browns for years, reported yesterday that if something is to happen with Watson, the Browns are going after Jimmy Garoppolo. So it just, that's the league. Tyreekus is up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I'm Malik Willis. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Tyreekus.
Yo, what's up? So I'm gonna be real with you, man. I give him an A+, man.
A+.
It was all about because this is his first game. I can't grade you on nothing your first game. I just want to see the mistakes you made and if you gonna overcome. And I seen that. But the biggest thing I want to talk about, man, is that I wanna see something different. You gotta separate yourself because, I mean, let's be real. You had a great run, but Marcus Mariota can run the ball. Jake Locknick can run the ball. Vince Young can run the ball. I need to see some more passes because I can't bench a guy and you can't deliver the ball. You know what I'm trying to say?
No, I mean, I'm with you. The coach feels that way, Tyreekus. He took him out of the game because he wouldn't throw the ball. And that's A+. A+. I can't get over that.
That seems a tad high, A+.
A+. What would you give Malik for last night?
I'd probably give him a B-, C+.
I was thinking like a C.
C+, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. I mean, he missed open receivers.
Yeah, and I do wonder in preseason, like, if you're the coaches and you're like, hey, I want to see you throw the ball. Like, they're trying to do some evaluations, right?
Sure.
Like, they want to see the wide receivers try and make a play. Like, hey, we're trying to evaluate these guys, throw the ball up. That's what partly, I wonder on those Woodside picks. Like, how much is he really trying to just mess around? I don't want to say mess around, but, try and give the wide receivers an opportunity to make a play and see some evaluation.
615-737-1025. Corey Curtis was on the field last night, which means that he was roughly closer by about 10 billion than all of us, considering the TV angle last night.
I noticed that,
freaking sucked. I mean, good God. And I don't want to get on Corey about it because it has nothing to do with him. It's like when lightning hits one of our transmitters and somebody's like, oh, yeah, your signal is something. And I'm like, look, man, like, what am I supposed to do about that? What am I supposed to go up there with a toolkit and go fix it? Hey, guys, I'll be right back. So Corey's kind of in that same boat yesterday, so I'm not going to jump on Corey about it. But that TV angle last night, and what killed me was the Ravens broadcast was perfect. The Ravens broadcast
that's
looked like football.
It's probably tricky when you're the NFL because you really only have one TV broadcast location.
Then give us the Ravens TV cameras.
I guess you could maybe steal their feed and then just use the audio over top with your own. I don't know how that works.
Let us see the game. Last night, I literally had to stand up in front of the TV so I could see the numbers of the players so I could figure out who was who. That TV angle last night was horrible. I mean, I say this jokingly, and I really don't know because I don't watch high school football, but my TV30's high school games probably has a better camera angle than we got last night. So I just wanted to air out how I felt about that last night. But anywho, Corey's going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on the game, Malik, what he heard, what he saw on the field. That's next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game is bringing you Nashville's best coverage of Titans training camp, presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Corey Curtis, News 2, was on the field last night on the TV broadcast. First off, Corey, I thought you did a great job breaking it down with Dan and Charles on the TV broadcast. But what
I
was your
that analysis? Fantastic.
There you go. Always nice to be a good teammate there. What was your reaction, Corey, to last night's performance from the Titans in general? And then we'll kind of go with Malik and the rest of the group after that.
Well, I mean, in general, they were great, right? And that's kind of to be expected with a lot of the guys that they put out there. I mean, what was it, like 20 guys didn't even make the trip? And I guess you could say that's making excuses because they generally need to be better. You know, I think the offensive line play was not tremendous. An indictment on all of them, but I just, as a whole, both quarterbacks faced a ton of pressure, and that wasn't great. I thought Malik Willis was, you know, what we expected in a lot of regards. But, you know, there's a reason the Ravens have won 21. Should a little even than other people do. They also do a good job of building the organization, and you saw that as well. And it looked like an ugly preseason game.
What'd you make of Malik last night? What did you make of Vrabel's frustration taking him out of the game when he did?
You know what? Hearing Vrabel say that after the game was almost kind of shocking because he holds his cards so close to the vest often. But, you know, clearly a teaching moment for the young man. And that's, you know, he's got to trust it and he's got to let it rip. And he's got to, you know, I know there was one play where he rolled out to the sideline and he ended up taking a sack. He had a receiver right in front of him who he either could have thrown the ball to or sailed it over his head out of bounds and not taken a sack. And, you know, he wants him to throw the football. I mean, that's why they brought him back out in the second half, was to throw the football. And so he's just sending the message, you know, early, you're either going to throw the football or you're not going to play. That's not to say that he can't run, because we saw he can be an effective runner. But, you know, right now, as he's learning the position in this offense in the National Football League, they want him to go through those reads, make quick decisions, and release the football. And I'm sure there are people who have frozen screen grabs where he had opportunities to get rid of the football. It happens fast out there, and this is one of the reasons they play preseason games, to get guys like that some experience at this level to see some of that stuff. So I thought, you know, his performance was largely predictable. There was some really good stuff in there, and there's a lot of stuff that needs improvement. I think there's enough stuff to excite you about the future in that you think he's got a lot of the goods to be a guy in this league. I think that's good. But there was also enough to know that he's certainly not ready right now.
Corey, what do you make of, and you guys talked about this on the broadcast, and it was the number one topic of Twitter last night during the Titans game, the backup quarterback battle between Woodside and Willis. I think it is a figment of everyone's imagination. I don't think it exists. What do you think about that?
You know, I don't think it exists yet, that's for sure. Look, that was not Logan Woodside's best game, for sure.
No.
But the moment he came in, he had guys in his face. I mean, it was a sieve up there in front of him. And he had no time to plant. He had no time to look. Now, he could have thrown some better balls. The first interception, I thought, was an awful throw. And, look, I haven't seen the replays of it down the field. But just what I saw, I was like, that wasn't good. I thought, you know, the ball that he threw to Treylon Burks deep, probably, if he throws a better ball, should have been a touchdown. I mean, if he gives Burks a better chance to make that play, it's probably 6 points. Burks, I thought, made a effort on it. I think Burks is capable of stealing that one away from the defender. But a better thrown ball, and that one's 6 points. So it wasn't Logan's best game. He didn't have a heck of a lot of help around him. I'm not going to I don't overreact either way to one performance, usually in general. I've seen enough of Logan Woodside in preseason games to know he can look better than that. But he was coming in the second half, and I think more important than wasn't the receivers that he was playing with, guys blocking in front of him, because he didn't stand much of a chance back.
Yeah. Corey Curtis, News 2, is with us here on the program. He was on the sideline last night. What do you make of the possibility after last night's performance from Woodside that Vrabel and Robinson go outside the organization, kind of like what they did last year when they brought in Matt Barkley, and maybe give Logan some competition because last night proved Malik is not ready for the backup spot?
You know, that's interesting. I don't know who's out there. And, you know, at this point, Logan Woodside has taken on all comers and held them off.
Sure.
And it's we're 3 years into that. So I don't know if there's somebody out there who they feel like is going to be able to come in and beat him out. I mean, I'd have to see what that list is.
Because
everybody's carrying three right now, right? Or four at this point?
Sure.
And so you know, what's out there is
out there for a reason.
So, you know, heck, maybe when you start to have
some cuts,
there might be some guys worth looking at. But I just don't know. And I'm not going to overreact. The guy's
been with the team for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. They know what he
is,
and they're not going to take – I don't believe they're going to take one performance where he had no help whatsoever and go, well, he's terrible now. He, you know, you don't carry a guy for 2 years as your backup and then all of a sudden decide on one game and two interceptions that he's garbage and you don't want him on your football team. At least I don't think
so. Corey Curtis
– again, I'm not going to overreact to that.
Corey Curtis is with us here on the program. What did you make of – the good things the Titans did last night, because I don't have a whole long list of them to go over.
Well, look, you know, we saw Aaron Brewer play some center, which I thought was really interesting as they look to piece together their offensive line. That's not to say he's not going to be the left guard, but I think that, you know, if Ben Jones goes down, that's what they're looking at, playing Aaron Brewer at center. I thought, what's his name? The kid from UT Chattanooga, the offensive, Corey...
Levin.
Corey Levin. I thought he had some decent snaps last night. I did. I thought, especially on the touchdown drive, I thought he had some nice plays and played decently for them. I thought the young tackles, you know, weren't terrible last night, which, you know, look, we've seen Dylan Raiden struggle in some preseason games, and I don't think we saw him struggle mightily last night. You know, I know that bar is set kind of low there, but, you know, you're just looking for progress. So I think, you know, we also saw Petit Frere play both sides, you know, and he wasn't perfect either, but it was his first one. So I think, you know, there's some stuff to look at there. And then Anini gets two sacks to end it, and that's a guy who I believe had about 20 career sacks at Houston. So, you know, he's a guy I think that we can watch for these last couple of preseason games to see if he can make a push to make this football team, because, you know, he's a guy who's been coming on a little bit according to Vrabel, and then it shows up in the game. Those were
Those are two big plays. I know Shakir Brown made a couple plays on the ball last night, and he's another guy who's had a decent camp. And Terry Godwin's a guy who I, every time I go to camp, shows up, and I see AD with the football in his hands. And he was their most consistent receiver last night. And so I look for Terry Godwin to continue to make a push and see if he can have some kind of role in this organization, even if it's not on the roster, on the practice.
Corey Curtis with us here on the program. A Fireball Hot Take Friday, Corey. What's your hot take this week?
Well, I was saving the big one for last, and normally I do not like to talk about punters and kickers, but my goodness, the kid from Colorado State, dude, he's got a camp. I mean, Ryan Stonehouse can flat out rock the football. I mean, those weren't just bombs. They were majestic bombs. They were way up in the air. I don't know if he beats out Brett Kern or not, because Brett Kern still averaged like 52 yards a punt last night, which is really good, and you know what Brett Kern can do. But he's going to kick for somebody in this league. And I think, you know, you make a future for today, but you also make it for tomorrow. And I think that is going to be a really interesting decision for this football team. I don't know how hot of a take it is, but I became a believer last night that kid's an NFL punter without a doubt.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, he will be on the sidelines next Saturday?
Next Saturday.
There you go.
6 o'clock, right?
Hey, can we get Gabbert? So I said that I was not going to jump on you for this because you had nothing to do with it. Can we get the TV camera? Can we get the camera fixed for Saturday night?
Well, we don't use cameras anymore. We just prop up iPhones on selfie sticks around the stadium.
That's what it felt like last night. Somebody was up in the 800 level, and it reminded me of watching the AFC Championship game standing over your shoulder up there in the 10,000 level in Arrowhead Stadium. I mean, it was last night, the camera angle, goodness gracious. So, I'm done. I'm done yelling about it.
I don't know a ton about this, but I do know this. Often when we're on the road, we have to share cameras.
Okay? Which I like.
We basically have to take their cameras.
I know.
I don't know what the scenario was last night in Baltimore. So I have no way of commenting.
It felt like the Titans broadcast was the auxiliary media, and the Ravens broadcast on NFL Network, which showed after the Patriots game was over.
Yeah.
Oh, it looked like they were sitting courtside.
Well, then obviously we had our own cameras, and we were probably assigned some different wells. There are certain strategic points around the stadium where there are camera wells that are assigned.
Hey, that's how you win 21 straight preseason games. Corey Curtis, News 2.
Yeah, with camera wells.
Joining us as always. Appreciate you, Corey.
Thank you, Jared. You have yourself a great weekend.
Yep, you too. Corey Curtis joining us on the program. And, boy, I promise that I will stop complaining about the camera last night. But my goodness gracious, boy, that drove me crazy. Let's get to your phones. 615-737-1025, your reaction to last night's game. And I'll just tell you right now, there's a chance Logan Woodside is not the backup next year, but it ain't going to be losing to Malik Willis. We'll get to that. Fireball Sin Whiskey goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There is no better way to celebrate the weekend and ignite the night than to do it with ice-cold Fireball Cinema Whiskey. That's right. I love Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Why? Because it goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. Heard Corey say right there, enjoy the weekend. That's right. Everybody do it with Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.
You mentioned the pressure with Logan. He mentioned the pressure. I mean, if he's coming into a game for you, he's going to see pressure and have to sort through it and do better than that, no?
Yeah, I mean, we all deal with, the mental side of it, the mental side of whatever our individual situation is. And, competing, everybody's competing for a job. And we all have to process that, and we have to work through that. And one of the strengths that Logan has had has been his command of the offense, his decisions. And I would anticipate that that's going to improve from what it was last night.
There you go. That was Vrabel talking about Logan Woodside. Titans fans, I don't think want to hear that. Ian, do you have a thought, or do you want to go to the phones?
To the phones.
Phones on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Layton up next on Logan Woodside. Thank you for calling the show. What's up, Layton?
Hey, Jared. I was just asking, if you think Vrabel trusts Woodside so much, then why did he not start last night? And why did it take Malik not listening to Vrabel for Woodside to actually get put in?
So I think that's a pretty good question. And I actually had thought, I had a pretty good hunch, just from kind of word on the street, I had had a pretty good hunch that Logan was not going to start last night. And then TD reported it right before the game that Malik Willis was going to start. And I believe that the reason that Logan Woodside didn't start is because Logan Woodside will probably never start for the Titans. So instead of doing that, have Malik Willis start, because the hope would be, the lottery ticket would be, that one day he will be a starting quarterback for the Titans. And that's why they did that. I also think they wanted to see how Malik adjusts at halftime. If we tell Malik, and this is me speaking for the team, if I'm the coach and we tell Malik, hey, stop running the ball at halftime, I want to see Malik go out there and see if he makes the adjustment that I want him to make. Then when he didn't make it, I could see Vrabel just getting pissed and just pulling him out of the game and sticking Logan in there. But I don't think that Malik starting last night really had anything to do with Logan. Now, look, Logan has not been good in training camp. I cannot tell you how many throws he has had over the last couple of weeks where I have put down horrible throw, minus one, with Logan Woodside. So last night was not a complete and total aberration as to what has been going on here. I will just say that they're not going to put Malik Willis, who almost threw a pick six on the second throw of the game, and on the first throw of the game threw it 97 miles an hour through the fullback's hands. They're not going to put him on the football field as the backup quarterback of the Titans. So if you don't like Logan Woodside, you need to hope that they go out there and they go get somebody that can come in here and kind of knows this Rams, 49ers, Packers, Falcons, Bengals, Minnesota. Am I forgetting anybody?
I don't think so.
System. That's what they have to have. By the way, texter texts into the text line says, Logan Woodside sucks. He needs to go. Go hope that they go bring somebody else in here, because Malik Willis is not going to be the backup of this team. And I do think it's odd. I'm not sure we've really talked about backup quarterback much this year, even when they drafted Malik.
It just felt like Woodside had it locked down. I think mostly, I guess, because of the last couple of years, we kept thinking, you know, maybe they would make a move, and he just kept, you know, winning the job. So I think we just assumed it was going to be him.
Andrew texts into the text line. Help me decipher this one, Ian. Andrew texts into the text line and says, Joe has to be a complete moron if he has seen that for weeks and argued with you that he hasn't sucked. Who are we talking about? Malik? I'm guessing it's Malik.
I guess so, yeah.
Have me and Joe argued about that?
I don't know if you guys argued about that. I know TD was trying to caution you a little bit about that. I don't remember so much about Joe.
I mean, look, I keep saying this. It's like people forget what they hear, the word stinks, and they forget about anything else that I say. All I have said is that Malik Willis stinks right now. So I say stinks, and then they forget the part about right now. There are a lot of quarterbacks that are taken in the draft that have a lot of potential, and they never realize their potential. And Malik might be one of those guys. He also might not be one of those guys. But right now, he stinks. If the Titans were forced into a situation like Arizona was a couple years ago, where all their quarterbacks got hurt before the playoffs and they were stuck with Ryan Lindley in a playoff game at Carolina, if that happened to the Titans and Malik Willis had to play quarterback, he would stink at playing quarterback and the Titans would lose. And the reality for me is if that were to actually happen, just in this hypothetical world, if that were to actually happen, the Titans would go out and sign somebody off the street and that person would play quarterback that week ahead of Malik Willis. That's all I'm saying. And everybody gets mad every time I say that. And it's like, look, You're missing the key point. The key point is when I say right now. And last night, I think Malik showed you that he's got potential. He's got talent. He showed you that. But he kind of stinks right now. That was kind of the vibe that I felt, and that maybe I would say like probably a lot of people felt. Troy texts into the text line and says, Fireball hot take, Sam Darnold will be the backup quarterback for the Titans. I believe Carolina owes Sam Darnold somewhere in the ballpark of $21 million, maybe. Maybe $18 million, somewhere in that ballpark. If you want to pay him $18 million, go ahead, but the Titans aren't paying a backup quarterback. There is absolutely no chance that the Titans are going to be paying a backup quarterback $20 million. So that's just not going to happen. Josh asks, won't we put more stock into the joint practices and say the reports come out that the rookies have looked against and how the rookies have looked against Tampa and Arizona rather than the preseason games? Of course. Here's how I feel about the preseason game. We'll all talk about the preseason game today. Monday, how much will we care about what happened in this preseason game? I'm going to guess not very much. But this is all we have to go off of. And I remember when I was in, the seventh grade, and the Titans are playing the Rams. And I went to the game, and on the first play, this is the first preseason game, Titans and the Rams, in 2002. And on the first play of the preseason game, Steve McNair gets strip sacked and fumbles the football, and the Rams pick it up and run it into the end zone for a touchdown. And I thought, oh my God, this is how the season is going to start. And I knew it was preseason, and now preseason doesn't count, but to have the first play, what a bad omen. And the Titans end up in the AFC Championship game. And the Ravens, over the last 6 years, have not lost a preseason game. They've won 21 games in a row in the preseason, and they haven't been to the AFC Championship game. So, again, yes, the joint practices will matter more. Now, Tom Brady not being a part of the joint practices, that has definitely hurt my interest level of these joint practices. And not so much because I love Tom Brady, which everybody knows that I do. I absolutely adore Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady's the greatest football player who ever lived. And anytime that I get to see Tom Brady, whether it's a practice or a game, and I get to be there in person, I savor it. And I even feel this way watching him on TV because I know in my heart that I'm not going to be able to see Tom Brady play for forever. And that I want to have the memories of watching Tom Brady both in practice and in games and on TV and remember what that means to me. Now, I say that the reason why I'm disappointed Brady's not going to be here is because I do feel like next week, Brady, Evans, I believe Chris Godwin has returned to practice, Russell Gage, Julio Jones, Kyle Rudolph, that crew, the Brady group, against Farley and Fulton and Molden and McCreary and Byard and Hooker, that I would feel pretty good about. Now, after watching Fulton and Farley play last night, I'm not sure I necessarily feel all that great about it. But yes, to answer the texter's question, the joint practices, in my opinion, matter way more when the starters are playing than the preseason games do. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So Malik Willis had made two plays yesterday that just wowed everybody. And those two plays, I believe, are completely worth talking about, but maybe not to get too excited about. I'll explain why. That's next. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I do want to tell everybody out there, while I have everybody's attention, I want to tell everybody out there that we are your racing station, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We're Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Federated Auto Parts 400. Also join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for race weekend. NASCAR on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway.
Gracie McMath had a really strong week of practice. He's able to bring it out here on the game field to make a big play for
him. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. And we're we're still looking for some of these other guys that we hope that can do some things. But, you know, that was one of the boxes that we certainly wanted to check off, was to see Racy, you know, continue to do what he's done in practice.
I love that one. Mike Vrabel at halftime. I will say this. I feel like the most honest that we get out of the Titans and their coaching staff, the most honest that we get out of them is when somebody makes some little side comment. Like John Robinson earlier this week talking about the wide receivers and saying, yeah, it was like the sky was falling there for a little bit. Huh? It's like, oh, Robinson likes the receivers. Or that cut right there where Corey Curtis on the team broadcast asked Vrabel, hey, Racy's doing a good job, which he had to ask something about somebody doing a good job. Then McMath is doing a good job. And Vrabel's like, yeah, we want to get the other guys going too that are supposed to be doing stuff. And that leads me to this. Malik Willis is the fun part of the preseason. I have no idea if Malik Willis is going to make it or not. I have no idea. You know, I one time, and I actually spoke about this preseason game in the last segment, talking about Steve McNair fumbling on the first play and the Rams scoring a touchdown. That game came down to the wire. I can't remember if the Titans won or not. I think they did. But it was a two-point conversion at the end of the game because, you know, these coaches, they don't like to tie in the preseason, or go to overtime. And Mark Bulger was the third-string quarterback of the Rams in that game. And I had never heard of Mark Bulger for a day in my life. And 6 months later, Kurt Warner's out the door, and Mark Bulger's the new starting quarterback of the then St. Louis Rams. And so, you know, sometimes the third-string quarterback stuff, it ends up being kind of fun. It was a battle between Billy Volek and Mark Bulger, and they both ended up having nice-ish NFL careers. And so that's how I feel about Willis, is like, oh, yeah, it's fun to talk quarterback, and is the guy going to be any good or whatever? But what really matters is all the other guys are supposed to play. Burks. Where was Burks last night? And when Vrabel says to Corey on the field, hey, we're trying to get the other guys going, that's who he's talking about. Burks and Phillips, who are going to have real roles with the offense this year. Okonkwo, who did have a nice block on the big pass to McMath, so we got to give him credit there. Okonkwo, what did he do last night? Nothing. He just didn't go for the ball because Malik led him so far that he was going to get him killed. And then on defense, Christian Fulton was the best player on the Titans that played last night, and he missed a tackle early. And even Caleb Farley, Vrabel was asked after the game, and I'm not sure Vrabel was in a good mood because I don't think the Titans played very well. Vrabel was asked after the game about about Caleb Farley, and Farley has looked, you know, he's had some good plays here and some bad plays there in practice. Here's what Vrabel said about Farley last night.
Mike, in Caleb's first game action in a long time, just what did you kind of see from him just kind of getting back into the groove of things?
Well, I mean, I think it was, you know, it was probably okay to start, not good enough, you know, third and five playing off it, you know, giving up a ball at the sticks, but then I thought it got better. I thought he, you know, settled down a little bit.
Not very good. I mean, Farley's got to play now, folks. And the schedule, it starts off, I know the Giants suck, and boy, did they suck last night on that first-team offense. I know they kicked a field goal against the Patriots, but woof, we'll get to them in a second. But after that, it is Stephon Diggs in week two. And Caleb Farley better play better. So if I'm going to have an opinion about anything with the Titans, and Trevor Maddich is going to join us at the top of the hour, and Trevor, we're going to talk about the offensive line. I basically told Trevor, we're going to talk about Malik, and then we're going to talk about the offensive line, and then we're going to talk about everything else that you saw. But I'm not sure he was overly impressed with the offensive line. So the guys that are going to have to play for this team, Burks, Farley, Fulton, Okonkwo, Phillips, Petit Frere, where were they last night? I know everybody wants to talk quarterback. I want to talk quarterback too. But where were they?
I mean, the snap count that Jim Wyatt put out today, TennesseeTitans.com, Kyle Phillips only played three offensive snaps, which must have been the first three. That seems a little on the low side, I would have thought.
Vrabel must have gotten pissed off about him slipping and falling and almost leading to a pick six. Although that was
maybe
a poorly thrown ball by Willis. David is up next here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Jared. I got to go to one practice last week, and I saw Malik, like, overthrowing and looking in the drills and, like, the footwork and all that stuff that you guys have kind of been talking about. But he does seem like a player that if you throw him into the wild and into a game situation that he will be his best. And I thought last night he definitely did look a lot better being thrown into the mix. I also thought he was in the huddle. I didn't hear him or anything, but he looked like he was calling plays with authority and they were going to the right places. And I just was wondering your thoughts on having him be in a real-life situation and maybe being a little better than you see just in drills and in practice.
I'll tell you, I thought he looked exactly like I've seen him look in practice. In fact, to a T, I think I've seen him. Ian, can we get that cut from 2 weeks ago where I asked Vrabel about, and I was basically trying to ask Vrabel, is Malik Willis running too much? And this, and I view covering practice, I really enjoy covering practice. I do. And I know that when I start talking about it and I get worked up about what happens at practice or what didn't, people look and they roll their eyes and they say, it's practice. But over the last 2 years of going almost every day at training camp, I've really come away with this strong sense that the people who play the best in practice just happen to play the best in the game, just like Racy McMath did last night. And Racy McMath has played great in practice. But I noticed it on the third or fourth practice. I'm like, Malik Willis is running way, way too much. I'd like to see Malik Willis throw. And sometimes in practice, he sailed the ball over guys' heads. Sometimes in practice, he's put the ball at guys' feet. Sometimes in 7-on-7, he delivers a freaking strike. And it's a beautiful throw. And as I said earlier, I believe the throw to start the 2-minute drill with 35 seconds to go, I thought that that throw to Kinsey right there on the numbers where they call outside the numbers where they called timeout, I thought that was a beautiful throw by Malik Willis. He stood in the pocket. Now, look, they were playing a little bit of a prevent, but he stood in the pocket. He delivered the ball with confidence. He put some freaking zip on it, and he got it right to Kinsey and set him up with timeouts to go. Thought it was beautiful. That's a good play. If I'm there at practice, that's 7+1. The next play, with 28 seconds to go around midfield, Malik Willis takes a sack. Titans have to call the timeout. That's bad. And that has been what I've seen from practice with Malik, is one good play, one bad play. The one thing that I've seen in practice that he didn't do in the game was he didn't fumble any snaps, which is good. That's progress. But this idea of Malik Willis is a gamer, turn the lights on, he's going to go out there and look 100 times better than he looked in practice, I disagree with the caller. I think he played pretty much like I've seen him practice. Do we have that cut, Ian? Is it for me? I think this is the only question I've asked Vrabel about Malik, maybe. But this was, I'm going to assume this is the right cut. This was the first week of practice at the very end. And I just noticed, like, Malik keeps running with the ball. This is what happened.
Progress are you hoping to see from Malik from the beginning?
Before practice. That was before training camp started. Anywho, I asked Vrabel if Malik was running too much with the ball. He basically said no. And then yesterday after the game was Malik was running too much with the ball. And I what I see in practice from Malik Willis is what I saw last night in the game. And that is he's not ready to play. And he's not going to be ready to play this season. And if the Titans make him the backup quarterback, which a lot of you all out there want, I'm going to lose my mind. Because he is not one sprained ankle of Ryan Tannehill away from getting in a game. So Trevor had a bunch of thoughts on the game last night. And I told Trevor, because Trevor missed us on Tuesday, I told Trevor, hey, let's chat Friday. Watch the game. Give me your kind of unbiased, unfiltered, and he's got the offensive line thoughts as well. But tell me what you saw. So he's got what he saw from Malik Willis. We will do that with Trevor Maddich coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Trevor Maddich will join us coming up next here on the program. Hey, we are working with our friends at Souls for Music City as these kids go back to school to get a fresh new pair of shoes. And $20 is all it takes. So text donate to 615-737-1025, and you'll be able to donate $20 for one child to make a huge difference in the life of that child. Text donate now to 615-737-1025, and let's make that first day of school even more special for these kids. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, The Game.